Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome to KER Politics. We're going to have four great segments today. First segment, we're going to deal a little bit with the COVID, the shots, et cetera, et cetera. I want to introduce what Jimmy's about to say by saying that my friends out here who have gotten boosters have all had very negative reactions to it. Why have they had negative reactions to it? Probably because it's almost worthless. My neighbor, Robbie, actually got incredibly sick the day after he got his booster. Incredibly sick with flu-like symptoms. Now, in spite of all of this, the government is still saying that they would like to see infants, and I would put infants in the category, let's say, of newborns to 6 or 7 year olds to get shots. I think that's silly. Jimmy, what do you think?
Yeah, so the FDA just approved shots for 6 months and older. That is in spite of no long-term studies and no factual evidence that shows that those children are at risk. However, there is a large amount of information that shows that children actually have a risk of potential negative reaction, specifically myocarditis for young males. And there's just no real significant issue for children at all. And according to the CDC, over 75% of the youth in this nation have actually had COVID already. So it makes zero sense. And I'm actually just wondering how much influence Pfizer and Moderna, BioNTech, Pfizer and Moderna have over our government, because it's pretty clear the FDA, and we'll wait, see what the CDC's recommendation is, because they actually have to approve this recommendation. But it's pretty clear that they're making decisions on the emergency powers and not based on proper scientific evidentiary proof of long-term studies.
No. Jimmy, a book which I recently read called A Pox Upon Your House basically gave the facts from a medical doctor of the erroneous ways that the government is handling the shot. Apparently, I agree with you 100%. They're really listening to Pfizer, Moderna, and the rest of them. I would very much like to see what the quarterly income statements and balance sheets for those companies look like, all things considered. You got a comment on that?
Well, I think there's no question. They've made billions. I think last year, Pfizer, BioNTech raked in about $85 billion in revenues, mm-hmm. billions of dollars. And of course, the longer people need shots and boosters, the more money they will make. And of course, we know that it's very clear with the variants that people still get the COVID virus regardless. Now, there's some evidence that elderly people actually benefit and avoid hospitalization mm-hmm. and death. But let's face it, Anthony Fauci, fully vaccinated and boosted, and guess what? He has COVID right now. So you just see it every day, the hypocrisy, the lies, the unfortunate influence, and the lack of faith that is evolving in our health system and our government institutions being influenced by people like the biotech companies.
Yeah, Anthony Fauci being the highest paid, I guess I'd call him a government employee in the nation, makes more money than any other government employee. I'd like to ask you the following question, Jim, and I'm going to ask it. There's a little play on words. I think it's all about control by the government, the Center for Disease Control, and the FDA. What do you think?
I think that there are people within the government that are really, that in this administration, this regime, that are very focused on retaining power. And they've made it very clear. Anthony Fauci has made it clear, both in public hearings as well in public statements, that they are fighting to continue mask mandates to show who's the boss, who's in charge, that the government and the health authorities still have that responsibility, that elected officials should not be involved in those decisions, that health officials should be. But what we've seen is that the health officials are incompetent, if not complicit in corrupt and potentially damaging issues over and over and over again. So that's why we have a system of democracy. That's why we have a republic, in order to vote out those people that would make decisions authoritarian-wise and then lie to cover up their actions. And that's the unfortunate reality we're facing today. The FDA and, of course, the Pfizer, and they're trying to hide the information, the material that doesn't support their narrative. And, of course, this entire White House staff has been fully behind that type of cover-up, if lack of transparency, and more importantly, actually showing the facts that show incompetence on our government officials.
Jimmy, the obvious question that comes into my mind that I've been thinking about really all week is, how can the Democratic Party use this particular situation to their advantage in the upcoming elections in 22 and 24, in your opinion?
Yeah, so what we saw in 2020 with the virus, with this, quote, pandemic, unquote, that turns out to be basically equivalent to a bad flu season, what we saw was the ability of the Democratic Party to manufacture fear through their media compliant editors and corporations that support their interests in order to change voting procedures and allow mail-in voting, to allow influences that were technically and in many cases illegal in many of these key important districts around the country. So my belief is that they will continue to find reasons and justification to intimidate and use these techniques in order to stop legitimate voting and stop the ability to check on the voter rolls, the ability to check mail-in ballots, the ability to check voter IDs, in order to continue their efforts to basically control power through manipulation of our electoral system.
You know, the movie 10,000 Mules really, really brought that out. There's no question about that. What I would like to know is, why didn't that movie make a bigger impact? Although perhaps it has made a huge impact. In the primaries last Tuesday, the Democrats didn't do particularly well. What impact do you think this is all going to have on the real elections in 2022 this year?
Well, I know that in many states, we've talked about it before, many states have come back and fixed a lot of the problems that evolved from the 2020 election. And some of the key states, the Republican-controlled legislators, however, in places like Pennsylvania, where Governor Wolf is the Democratic governor, the legislature attempted to change some of those rules, but he overrode those, vetoed them. We know that there's some weird things that happened in Georgia with Kemp and Raffensperger mm-hmm. in the just recent elections. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to judge what the outcomes will be. And I'll tell you, I just voted here in the primary in South Carolina. I walked in, and I'll tell you, it is very, with the electronic tabulating systems, it's very difficult to find transparency and some sort of record that might that you can factually see the votes were not manipulated. And that's the unfortunate reality. We are pushing towards electronic voting. We're pushing towards mail-in voting. We're pushing towards, in many places, lack of voter ID, especially in powerful Democratic states like in California, and of course there in Washington and New York, where people are fighting against voter ID.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have a very difficult time.
Yeah, they are. Jimmy, we got to take a real quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back right after the commercial break. We're going to continue this discussion, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Ukraine. Stick around.